रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अरण्यकांड चैप्टर नंबर 64. रामा सर्चेस फॉर सीता. Raghunatha called out Lakshmana in plaintive tones and said, "Go hence to the Godavari as quick as thought and ascertain if Sita has gone there to gather flowers." Lakshmana did so and reported that he searched for her at all the fords and called out often, but could not find out where she had gone. Then Rama went himself to the river and asked her, "O noble lady Godavari, tell me where Sita has gone." But she and everything else in the forest would not inform him of Sita's perilous situation, mortally afraid of Ravana as they were. Yet they turned to the river goddess and said, "It is wicked on our part to keep from Rama the miserable plight of Sita, seeing how he suffers. Delay not." But the terrible form of Ravana and his cruel deeds struck fear into her heart and kept her speechless. Raghava, who had strong hopes that she would help him to find out Sita, now entirely abandoned himself to despair and cried, "Lakshmana, this Godavari would not reply to. How shall I acquaint the parents of Sita with this dreadful news? Where has she gone, my Janaki, whose sweet words give me courage to bear up under the dangers and privations of the forest life and content myself with the poor fare it supplies? Bereft of kin, friends and wife, each moment of the night would be an eternity of torture to me. I will search through the Mandakini, Janasthana, Prasaravana and all other places till I come upon her. Stay, these mighty beasts glance at me often, as if they desire to convey through signs some news of her." Then he turned to the animals and cried amidst blinding tears, "Friends, saw you Sita?" At once they sprang up, turned their eyes to the sky, ran to the south, and looked back every now and then towards the princess. Lakshmana quickly gathered their meaning and said, "Brother, no sooner do these creatures hear you say, 'Where is Sita?' than they spring up and run pointing to the earth, the south, and the sky. Someone has carried away Sita along the sky towards the south. Let us proceed to search the southwest where the Rakshasas dwell. We might come upon Sita or hit upon some clue to find her." Rama approved of it, and they took their way to the south, keeping up a careful search all the while. They talked of her on the journey and very soon came upon the flowers that had dropped from her hair on the ground. The sight roused the slumbering grief of Rama and he cried, "Lakshmana, see, doubtless these are the very flowers I gathered for her from the woods so fondly. Now we have a clue to find her out. We will not return without her. The sun preserves them from fading thanks to his affection for me. The wind keeps them from being scattered for, and the earth guards them from being covered up." He rejoiced thereat and cried out to the Prasaravana hill, blind with torrents, "Best of mountains, saw you my beloved of peerless beauty?" But his words were echoed back to him as a reply. He was filled with rage to see that it replied him not, but added insult to injury by mocking his grief. Like an angry lion looking at some low reptile, he cast burning glances at it and roared, "This moment you bring me my Sita, lovely as a statue of gold, else I shiver you to atoms." Yet the hill managed to convey a reply by its echo of having seen Sita, for the fear of Ravana kept it tongue-tied. This redoubled his fury, and he glanced around with fiery looks and cried, "Miserable wretch, my shafts shall reduce you to ashes. I will make it a howling wilderness here, devoid of grass, herb, or tree. Lakshmana, this ruin knows where Sita has gone and will not tell me. Well, I give her only a moment to speak out. If she persists in her obstinacy, I will scorch her up." But fortunately for all, his eyes fell upon a large footprint and many small ones beside it. They inferred from this that, chased by the Rakshasa, Sita ran towards the ashrama in fear. She tried to hide, but then she rushed about here and there. Hard by lay a bow, quivers, and chariot, all shattered to pieces. Fear filled his heart as he called out to Lakshmana and cried, "Behold yon garlands, necklets, and pieces of gold leaves that have been shed from the ornaments worn by Sita. Blood drops like thick all around, like gold dust. So a number of Rakshasas have fallen upon her and cut her to pieces. Two Rakshasas had a dreadful fight here over her. Whose is this huge bow decked with gold, ropes of pearl, now shattered to pieces? Whose is this armor of gold, chased with gems and shining like the morning sun, now broken to bits? Whose is this snow-white umbrella with its 100 ribs and fringes of pearl, now shivered to atoms? To whom do these mules belong that, cased in golden armor, lie dead around us with pishacha faces and huge terrible bulk? This war chariot blazing like fire is now a shapeless mass. The flag thereon proclaims it is that of a general. These gold-banded arrows, long and large as the axles of chariots, are scattered about with broken points. Who shot them? These quivers full of arrows are riven to pieces. Whose charioteer is this? Who lies dead, his hands yet grasping the whip and the reins? Behold these two Rakshasas with chamaras in their hands and decked with turbans and earrings. Whom do they serve? This footprints is a man's, for it does not press heavily in front. It is crooked, and hence it is that of a Rakshasa. The enmity between them and myself has now grown a million times bitter. I will exterminate them. These cruel demons have carried her away, or eaten her up, or slain her. The god of Dharma failed to protect her when the Rakshasas insulted her in this lonely forest. The very regions of the spheres dare not displease me, then why not save her? Lakshmana, know you the reason for it? It matters not if you were endowed with the power of evolving, preserving, and destroying the infinite worlds. If you but give room for pity and gentleness, every created object will, in ignorance of your worth, slight you. This is the way of the world. Behold, I affect gentleness and restraint of senses but for the well-being of all, and they take me for a slight, insignificant, impotent thing and brush me aside in contempt. Compassion is said to be a noble virtue, yet it is a vice in me. Has it come to this that the gods should insult me and allow Sita to be carried away? What avails this compassion? I have vowed to destroy the Rakshasa brood and have transformed the vice of compassion into the virtue of wrath. As the sun rises on the horizon in all its blinding glory and throws into the shade the cool rays of the moon, I will suppress in me mercy, humility, and other virtues, but to proclaim my might and energy the better. It bodes no good to Yakshas, Gandharvas, Pishachas, Kinnaras, Rakshasas, or men. My arrows shall blot out the sky and depopulate the three worlds. The planets, the moon, Agni, Vayu, and the sun shall not move. I will deprive them of their power and life and reduce them to utter nothing. I will shatter the mountains and let loose chaos and ruin all the three worlds with their rivers and mountains. The regions of the four quarters shall feel but too heavily the weight of my arm should they fail to bring back my beloved Sita to me this instant, safe and sound. Not a bird, not a fly shall be seen anywhere. My arrows shall cruelly torture every creature in this world, exterminate the beasts, change the very properties of things, and hold the universe in terror. Pisacha or Rakshasa, the very name shall be lost for all time. Let them try to stand before the arrows winged with my wrath. Gods, Daityas, Pishachas, Rakshasas, or Yakshas, I will make a mincemeat of them and turn the worlds into one vast field of the dead. It matters not if Sita be carried away or slain. The regents shall place her before me this instant, just as she was when I left her, or I will wipe the worlds out of existence and reduce to utter nothing the creatures therein. His face blazed with wrath.
His eyes flashed flames. He grasped his mighty bow, placed a terrible arrow on the string that shone like the rod of time or a great serpent, and utterly transported with rage like the fire of time that consumes the worlds that Pralaya roared out. Lakshmana, was anyone known to stay the march of age, death, time, or fate? Even so, my wrath, Sita shall be brought to me this instant with the very smile on her lips as when she said to me, catch this deer for me, else I will devastate this universe. Surely no one will blame me for it. Sita is higher than myself in that she comes not of a mortal womb. She is equal to me in that she is the daughter of the heroic Janaka. What care I for others when my heart is sore with grief at her loss? Mangalam Kushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdeya Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.